Welcome to Series 2, Episode 9 of Encounter Points. Welcome to the 9th episode of Season 2 of Encounter Points. I'm Bill Schmidt.
And I'm Ken Hellenius.
Last week we talked about habits and virtues, and how we can raise our standards by repetition.
Well, Bill, as I've told you a million times before, repetition is the key to building good habits. Like I've told you a million times before.
This weekend, we're going to come back to our senses. Specifically, what the nose knows.
I smell you, Bill. Well, hello, everybody, and Bill Schmidt.
Hello, Ken and everybody.
Welcome back to the Southbrook Studios this evening.
Yes, it's good to be here.
It's always a joy for me to sit across from you at this august table with our notes in the center and our cups of water and all that and to pick up the conversation, this is episode 9 of series 2.
Whoa.
Episode 9, entitled Our Prayers Rise Up Like Incense. I know, it's nice, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And yet I think tonight's conversation is going to be, it's going to be more than just a whiff of smoke in the end.
Oh, well, very good.
I promise.
Yes.
There will be some substance here.
Very good.
Yeah.
Put that in your pipe and smoke.
Right? That's right. I was last night, some friends invited us over, along with a number of their other friends, to sit on the porch and have, you know, conversation on a beautiful summer night here in right. South Bend. And a couple of us had cigars and it was just joyful.
It's very pleasurable. You know,
cigars are one of those things that are, I like them. They are, they're very social.
Yes.
You know, the cigarette is somewhat social too. I'm not a fan of cigarettes myself. I don't smoke them, but pipes are very solitary and very contemplative.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Certainly
and
the
I think
image. Yeah,
the cigar is very social.
I like that.
And it and we were having a great social evening.
Oh, very good. Yes.
And then I go to mass.
Luxury.
Uh-huh. You know, and at mass we have, I go to an extraordinary form parish. So we uh-huh. have the mass in the 1962 rite uh-huh. of, from before the Second Vatican Council. It is a parish run by the priestly fraternity of St. Peter. So I always like to tell folks, we are in full communion with Holy Mother
right,
Church.
Yeah,
we
right.
are not schismatics.
Right.
At our masses, you know, at every high mass or solemn mass on Sunday, the principal mass of the parish, incense, you know, both, at the, you know, at multiple times, the altar is incensed, the people get incensed, and I don't mean they get angry.
Good.
I can see it in your eyes there. But, you know, and really this whole idea, why do we use incense? What does it mean? It's certainly part of what we have been talking about this entire series, incarnational piety.
Yes.
If Catholics are known for one thing, it's, you know, it used to be smells and bells.
Smells and bells, exactly.
You know, and I would have to say that the incense, the use of incense in the liturgy is most decidedly a distinctively Catholic thing.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And even the, you know, watching the smoke rise up, smelling it waft across right. the church, hearing the tink, tink, tink of the
yes.
chains as the incense is being, you know, kind of, as the altar is being incensed, as
yes.
the people, as the priest is. All of these are very, very visceral reactions.
They really are.
Very engaging of the senses.
Yes, I absolutely love them. And that idea of incarnational piety, being faith for all five senses, is a very powerful idea and a very powerful set of memories for me. Just as your heart is touched by the Latin Mass experiences, I think back to my days as an altar boy, and I think probably the this was at the time when incense was used more often, and I used to serve benediction on
on
Monday nights, and it was a responsibility of mine to prepare the incense and the
little charcoal.
Being somewhat absent-minded on occasion and all, I always was concerned that I had remembered every step that
you
I lit the charcoal. I needed a checklist, exactly, right.
To reference last week.
Yes, but it certainly left a powerful memory on my mind. The scent of it is just overpoweringly beautiful to me. And you're right. The sound, the gestures that the server or a deacon or whomever.
The thurifer. Bearing the thurible.
Which, very good.
It took me a moment. The word wouldn't come to me earlier.
It's a wonderful word.
So the thurifer is the person who bears the thurible. The thurible is is the actual incense, the censer, as we would think about it.
And wasn't there, at least at one time, was thurifer one of the steps in the rise? Just like a deacon or
Minor order.
Yeah.
I don't believe so.
No?
I think they were porter, exorcist, acolyte, which acolyte, lector, then subdeacon, deacon, priest, bishop, cardinal.
Right. Pontiff. Yeah. Yeah. No, I
know. But I don't know that the thurifer was ever a minor order. It may have been a role of the acolyte, though.
I see. I remember being impressed that that some important and beautiful sounding term applied to me and role at doing the incense, because it meant a lot to me. And you know what still means a lot to me today at masses is when the altar server or deacon or folks holding one of those other positions you mentioned goes out to the congregation.
Yes.
And has everyone rise.
Yes.
And the entire congregation is incensed.
Yes, gets incensed. Yes. Exactly.
And
we bow.
We bow to the, yes.
Yep.
There's a wonderful spiritual bonding there that seems to go on. I never quite had that role of reaching out to the congregation in that way. But it's just so beautiful, and you know that something very important is happening. And we talked about this in an earlier episode, the idea of blessing with it.
Yes.
It's a kind of, we're blessing each other.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, and what we are doing is making of our very actions themselves a blessing of piety.
Really?
To reference kind of what
Indeed.
We were talking about last
beautiful.
Week as well. So,
right.
So Psalm 141.
Yes.
Where we often hear this when we speak of incense. So Psalm 141 begins, "I've called to you, Lord, hasten to help me. Hear my voice when I cry to you. Let my prayer arise before you like incense, the raising of my hands like an evening oblation."
Beautiful.
So it's this idea that incense rises to the Lord. It rises up, you know, of course.
Yes.
And our prayers go up with the incense. So when we are being presented with the incense, when the thurifer is blessing the congregation, we are then joining our prayers with what is about to take place on the altar.
Yeah.
So that everything is going up towards God.
Yeah.
Because at that moment in the liturgy, what is going on in the altar is the sacrifice of Christ.
Yes.
On our behalf.
Right.
You know, and so we are joining with them with that perfect action.
Yes.
We're joining our everything we bring as well.
Yes. Really beautiful.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful, beautiful psalm. And I really genuinely like this idea of, you know, the evening oblation, because of course this reminds me of the idea that in the liturgy of the hours, we bless all the hours of the day. So, you know, our incense rises up like the evening oblation. So again, a reminder that we bless the entire day. All of it is a gift from the Lord. All of it is being returned to God as a sacrifice of praise.
Right.
Psalm goes on, "Set, O Lord, a guard over my mouth. Keep watch, O Lord, at the door of my lips." And I'm reminded of the virtue of prudence, which we were talking about last week. Right. This idea of, hey, let me say only the right things at the right time.
Right.
And, you know, so set a guard over my mouth. you know, this idea, this in this psalm. Do not turn my heart to things that are wrong, to evil deeds with men who are sinners. You know, keep me holy, O Lord.
Yeah.
Never allow me to share in their feasting. If a just man strikes or reproves me, it is kindness. But let the oil of the wicked not anoint my head. Of course, we've talked about oil before and anointing.
Yes.
This idea that the anointing seals you in, you know, we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit in with sacred chrism when we are anointed. Priests are anointed. Bishops are anointed as part of the consecration rite, ordination rite. So the oil of the wicked, let it not anoint my head. Do not let me join in communion and be sealed with those who are sinners.
Yeah. You know?
So, I mean, there are so many beautiful images in this psalm. It goes on to say, to you, Lord God, my eyes are turned. In you, I take refuge. Spare my soul from the trap they have laid for me. Keep me safe.
Mm-hmm.
Keep me from the snares of those who do evil. Let the wicked fall into the traps they have set, while I pursue my way unharmed.
Isn't that great? Yes, a very, very good prayer of self-protection and trust in the Lord.
And walking in his paths,
being protected
by the Lord. And of course, we can think of prayers like the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, asking that he help protect us. We're walking in the ways of the Lord here. We're you know, asking that our prayers rise up before the Lord like incense. Gosh, the Book of Psalms is so good.
Yeah.
I've told you before that it's my second favorite book.
What's your first favorite book?
Tobit.
Tobit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, Tobit by a mile.
Wow.
Tobit, a book that begins with a story of a guy. It's too hot, so he falls asleep in the courtyard of his house, and hot bird poop falls in his eye, and he goes blind.
Oh my.
So he sends his son to go get some money from his cousin so that he can, you know, pay for healthcare. And the son goes, and he gets a pet dog, and he meets the Archangel Raphael, and he marries his cousin. It's everything you want in a story.
Really? Yes.
Oh, yeah. And then you get, and then Raphael comes back. They catch a fish. He comes back. He puts the fish guts on Tobias's eyes, and next thing you know, he can see. Or Tobit's eyes, I should say. He can see.
This
everything you want
drama.
In a story, right?
Yes.
Hot bird poop in the eye, Archangel, fish guts, pet dog, marrying your cousin, everything.
I'm surprised that Hollywood has not bought the script.
I'm shocked myself. I know. Not enough people know the Book of Tobit, I think. Mainly because it's one of those books, of course, that comes in the Catholic Bible, but not in our Protestant brothers and sisters. And so, most of us Catholics have not done a thorough job of reading our scriptures.
Yes.
Highly recommended. Book of Tobit's a great place to start.
I'm going
to
check that out.
Yeah.
Yes.
What can I say?
Yes.
So, what are your thoughts on incense? Not to bring us back.
Oh, well, the other connection I make to incense is the nativity scene, and incense being used as a gift.
That's right, frankincense.
Frankincense, and being used there as a gift of bonding, in a sense, welcomings.
Homage, even.
Homage.
A gift, an offering.
Exactly.
Unto the newborn king.
Indeed. Right. And because it's homage to a king, it's full of profound meaning. I'm sure you'd have very good insights about, you know, frankincense in the context of the gold and the myrrh. I'm always a little bit fuzzy about that, but does that use of incense in scripture impact you?
And actually, I was reading a piece earlier today that talked about these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Oh, yeah.
As you say, I mean, they are gifts that were appropriate for a king. Gold, it seems kind of obvious. Gold is the precious metal that would be, you know, presented to kings.
Right.
The frankincense really represented, in one interpretation, frankincense represents the priesthood. Seems obvious, as we were talking earlier, you know, our prayer rising up like incense.
Yes.
So the frankincense offering a gift unto the Lord. This frankincense would accompany the sacrifices in the temple. Frankincense would be an offering of frankincense would be made along with, you know, the two turtle doves or whatever also right. were being sacrificed as well, because this is a sweet smelling gift unto the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then, myrrh. So would be the third, and myrrh was a valuable balm. Myrrh is an interesting thing. So myrrh represents the sacrifice of his death that he is going to make. It's used for embalming dead bodies.
Wow.
Another thought, though, is that myrrh was mixed into anointing oils as well to make them fragrant. And as a matter of fact, our brothers and sisters in the Orthodox tradition, myrrh is mixed into the sacred chrism. And so that it would be very fragrant, and that, as a matter of fact, chrism is called myrrhon in the Orthodox and Eastern Church traditions. Myrrhon coming from myrrh.
Wow.
And so to be anointed with myrrh is to be sealed with the sacred chrism.
Hmm.
And a piece I read by Father Dwight Longnecker, who's a convert to the faith. Mm-hmm. He actually has a book about the wise men, the three kings, in which he kind of dives deep into this. And he says that the gifts themselves indicate to us that the three wise men were probably diplomatic representatives from the Nabataeans. Now, the Nabataeans were the peoples that had their capital at Petra. In Jordan.
Okay.
Petra, of course, if you've seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Petra is that great carved stone city that is hidden by valley passageway, that in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is where the Holy Grail is kept.
Ah.
Turns out Holy Grail is probably not there, but that particular kingdom was a great trading kingdom. And the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh would have been gifts to Herod's newborn son, what they thought was Herod's newborn son, the king of the Jews, as a peace offering to him, because they needed to cross his land to get to their ships on the Mediterranean Ocean. They had to cross through Judea, the land of Herod. And so it was a really interesting kind of deep dive read, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes here.
Yeah. Oh. It's marvelous, the layers and layers.
Layers and layers.
Understanding that can be found.
You know, according to the Orthodox tradition, the gifts of the Magi themselves, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh given to the baby Jesus.
Yeah.
Of course, we read in the scriptures that Mary kept all these things, pondered them, and kept and treasured them in her heart, right?
Yeah.
The tradition in the Orthodox Church is that she literally kept all of these things, and that before her dormition or her sleeping, she gave them to St. Luke and in charge of the church in Jerusalem, because she lived with St. Luke. She lived, of course, with St. John, but then Luke was also involved as well. And so the gifts passed to eventually Constantinople. They made their way mounted in a silver case to the monastery of St. Paul at Mount Athos, which is a great Greek Orthodox monastery on an island, where they've been kept safe since at least 1453.
Oh my goodness.
And that the relics, which can still be seen today, they've been displayed twice publicly since in the last 500 years. They were displayed in Belarus and Ukraine in 2014.
Oh my goodness. And this is literally the gold frankincense?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it's really interesting. We'll have a link to a photo of this, this silver case. They've been worked into, the little drops of frankincense and myrrh. Have been kind of worked into a golden, kind of looks like a little medallion. And it was really quite interesting to learn about. And then, because you're not getting away without finding out what happened to the three wise men.
Fair enough. Yes.
The shrine of the three. And now you're about to know the rest of the story. The shrine of the three kings is in the Cologne Cathedral in Cologne, Germany. Since, 1164, a gift of the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick Barbarossa. And before Cologne, they were in Milan, where they had been taken by Constantine had been gifted to Milan, the imperial capital, by Constantine when his mother Helena found the relics of the three kings in Jerusalem during her trip. So,
oh my goodness!
Yeah, I mean, it's you start learning these things again, all inspired by this psalm, ultimately, right?
Right.
Let our prayer rise before you like incense.
Yeah.
When you start taking down, you know, and going down the rabbit hole, you find yourself reading about reliquaries and Belarus, Minsk, the cathedral in Minsk, where the, where in 2014, the gifts to the sweet baby Jesus were on display.
Yeah.
And thousands upon thousands of people waited in line in the middle of winter to see the relics of the Christ child's gifts.
I love it. Yeah. And you know what else I love about the access that you've given to this fuller story and these fuller insights is that, you know, we've been talking about incarnational piety and appeals to the five human senses, but what you're also, you're adding a different dimension, which is there for sacramentals, for everything we've been discussing. And that is, it's not just about the touchy-feely or about how pretty a statue looks or how wonderful incense smells or this or that. But the real incarnational practice is not just the engagement of our five senses, but of our minds and hearts. They're part of the body too.
Right.
And in fact, the essence of the way that we can come to a fuller understanding of what it means to that Jesus was priest, prophet, and king, mm-hmm. and why these gifts were important, and what a wonderful incarnational thing it was for Mary to ponder and to want to keep these concrete gifts as ways to meditate on more spiritual.
On what she knew, remember? She alone was certain that this is the Son of God.
Yes, that's right.
Joseph had a dream.
Yes.
But she alone knew.
Yeah, she'd gotten the scoop.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the angel.
One last thing. I mean, you mentioned there, you know, priest, prophet, and king. I mean, the roles, the triple role of Christ, the triple role to which we as Christians are all called to as well.
Well, that's right.
We sing about this in the song, We Three Kings.
Yeah.
At Christmas. They kind of acknowledge this same sort of thing, the meaning of their gifts. So in the song, We Three Kings of Orient Are, it ends with, in one of the verses, glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice.
Wow, so that says it.
King, gold, God, frankincense, sacrifice, myrrh.
Oh,
I mean, so this has been built into our, even the carols we sing that we don't even necessarily think about what they mean. It's right there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
When you start to dive a little deeper.
Another wonderful practice of incarnational piety.
Yep.
I don't know if it's part of our blueprint for all of the episodes, but singing and wonderful lyrics and beautiful holy melodies, like I'm sure you do during the masses in the extraordinary form that you attend. It's all incarnational. And it engages every part of the human being, and it really is beautiful and to be pondered. Really.
And to be pondered
yeah.
in our hearts, too.
Yes. Yeah. Really neat.
Bill, we'll see you next week.
Very good. Always good to talk with you. Thank you again. Thank you for joining us for our conversation. You can subscribe to hear future episodes at our website, encounterpoints.com. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We hope to encounter you in the next episode of Encounter Points.